Praise the Lord. Whoa, look at this. Hello, all of you all. My goodness. Wow. Look at this. What a joy. It is so good to see you, and it's good to imagine you out there, too. He is risen. That's a week he's risen indeed. I know you've done it a couple times before, but we get to do this formally once a year. He is risen. Yes, he is. Amen. And hallelujah. And it is a blessing to be with you this morning to talk about the significance of his being risen and risen indeed. But before we do that, we have a special birthday thank you to give to our own Franklin sitting right there. It's his birthday today. What are you, 27, Franklin?
33 years old.
Wow. There you go. Amen. That is wonderful. And thank you again for your wonderful testimony on Friday during our Good Friday service. We were blessed, as we were by Robin and the worship team. It was a wonderful celebration. So today's message, let's just jump right into it. Today's message is titled, If You're Gonna Go For It. If you're gonna go for it, why not go for forever? If you're going to go for it, why not go for forever? You know, this season is all about new life. The spring, the resurrection of our Lord. It's a time to contemplate life. And that's what I'd like for you to do this morning, to think about life and to think about your life and to think about what you are going for. And the question in the title is, if you're going to go for it, if you're going to try to grab all the life you can, if you're going to try to live it to the full, if you want to enjoy it to its maximum, if you want it to count for something, if it's meaningful to you to have a meaningful life, if you're going to go for it, we only have one life to live. If we're only here for a moment, why not go for forever? Why not go for that which we cannot lose rather than trying to hold on to that which we cannot keep? If you're going to go for it, why not go for forever? Our text is in two places, Luke 24, verses 1 through 9, or 1 through 8, and also Revelation 1:18. And while you're turning there, for those of you who take notes, the main idea is the title. If you're going to go for it, why not go for forever? Luke 24. I have said this while you're turning there. I've said this many times before that I am all into living life to the full. I am all into making the most of the time that I have here. I am voracious about trying to consume all there is to consume of life. But I've discovered something. I've discovered something from my personal experience, and it is this personal experience that actually led me to Christ. And it's the truth that no matter how much of what you think you want, you consume. No matter how much of what you think you would like to have in your life that you consume, it's never going to be enough. It's never going to be enough because enough is not found in this world. It isn't here. No matter where you look, it's not here. There's good things here, and I enjoy good things. there's pleasures here. I enjoy pleasurable things. I enjoy traveling. My wife and I have a trip planned next month. Looking forward to it. So I enjoy the things of life, but I know there's more to life than the things that I'm enjoying. And my focus is not on trying to accumulate more of that. My focus is on absorbing as much of what is life indeed as I possibly can. And I am greedy for it. So I ask myself, if you're going to go for it, Dan, why not go for forever? So we're looking at Luke 24. And we're starting in verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices that they'd prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.' Then they remembered his words." And the second text passage is Revelation 1:18, where the Lord says these words to the Apostle John by revelation. He says, Revelation 1:18, "I am the living one. I was dead. And now look, and now behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades." It's a new story every time we read it. And yet, it's an old story that needs no embellishment. It doesn't need to be sensationalized. It does not need to be dramatized. It's simple to understand. He's not here. He's gone. There you go. What can I say? He was here, but he's not anymore. You got the right address, but the resident has moved. And he said, "I am now the living one. I was dead. And now, behold, I am alive forever and ever." It's simple to understand, and yet it's too wonderful to believe. It's fantastic, but it's based on one simple fact. The tomb was empty. And one word unites believers from that first resurrection Sunday to today. One word, and it's that word, forever. Forever. And today is about forever. The heart of the joy of the resurrection is its foreverness. And that's what I want to focus on this morning. Today is about forever. So I'm so happy that the worship team sang that song about forever. I'll praise his name forever. Revelation 1:18 is one of my favorite texts in my prayers, in my sermons, in my writings. I often refer to the Lord as the living one. This is one of my favorite verses, Revelation 1:18, because it tells the truth about what this is all about. He's the living one. We worship a risen Savior. We are not worshiping a religious concept or a moral code. We are worshiping the living one who was dead and is now alive forever. The living one giving us the blessing of his foreverness is what this day is all about. The living one who lives forever giving to us, sharing with us, imparting to each one of us who has put our faith in him, his foreverness. So today I want you to think about forever, because forever can have a tremendous impact on how we experience life today. It has real life, real time, real world implications. Now, there are, by the New International Version's count, there are 289 Bible references to the word forever. And you'll be happy to know that I'm not going to go through all of them this morning. However, before I get back to this theme of going for forever, I want to give us some forever context. So I prepared a little sampler plate for you from the vast number of verses that are focused on forever. I've prepared a little sampler for you so that we understand a little bit about the impact of forever. So some of these verses, as you'll see, some of them contain, these are the most magnificent promises. Some of them are the most magnificent promises in the scripture, and they have the word embedded in them forever. Psalm 136 has a total of 26 verses, and each one ends with his love endures forever. When I pause, you say forever, because that's where you insert it. Kind of makes you think that God wants us to believe that his love endures forever. Kind of. Don't you think? If every verse ends with his love endures forever, kind of persuades you to believe that he wants us to kind of get that. David writes in arguably the most beloved psalm, Psalm 23. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The prophet Isaiah, he writes about the baby born in Bethlehem, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end, and he will reign forever. Psalm 33:11 says it instructs us that the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. Amen. And the purpose of his heart through all generations. The plans of the Lord stand firm forever. Forever. Even through a pandemic. Even through terrible global unrest. Psalm 66:7 bolsters that idea with the words, he rules by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. From Moses, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Psalm 146 says this, he remains faithful. Forever. Isaiah 26:4, trust in the Lord. Forever. Trust in the Lord forever. Why? For the word of the Lord, or the Lord himself, is the rock eternal, it says. Trust in him forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal, because all other ground is sinking sand. Trust in the Lord forever, because he is an everlasting, a forever rock. So if you're going to go for it, why not go for forever? Why not go for everlasting? Isaiah writes again, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away, says our Lord. Isaiah again, Isaiah can't help himself. He just keeps on going for it. He says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. So with that Old Testament sampler, we now begin our journey back to our text. Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. From Hebrews, by one sacrifice, one sacrifice, not a bunch of them. Not a sacrifice. Every time somebody sins, he's got to go back and sacrifice again. One sacrifice he has made perfect. He has made perfect. And here's your clue. Here's your cue. Forever. He has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. No, you're not perfect in your behavior. You're not perfect in your display. You're not perfect in your faith, but you are perfect forever. You've been made perfect forever by one sacrifice, and you are constantly, day by day, being made holy. You are being made holy in your behavior, in your attitudes, in your thoughts, in your appetites, but that is a process. It's not your status. Your status is you are perfect forever. It will never change. It doesn't matter how you wake up feeling in the morning. You look in the mirror, it doesn't matter what you see. What it says is, Jesus Christ, by one sacrifice, he's made perfect forever those who are being made holy. In Hebrews 13:8, we read these words, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Yes, he is. He's not going to change up on you. Oh, my Lord. You can count on him. He's not fickle. He's not here today and gone tomorrow. He's not moody. He's not capricious. He's not wishy-washy. As solid as he was when you look at the pages of scripture and you say, wow, how could he have thought of that? How could he have done that? He's just as solid today as he ever was. Jesus Christ, the same Jesus that the disciples saw ascend into heaven, that same Jesus will come back. Will come back just the way they saw him leave. In Jude 24, it says, to him who's able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, be majesty, be power and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was before all ages, now and forevermore. I don't know about you, but my sampler plate is done. In these times, in fact, this week, as I was thinking about this morning's message, the word forever embraced my heart and wouldn't let go. Because there is with the word forever, there's stability. With the word forever, there is security. With the word forever, there is certainty. And we live in a world that has none of it going on. And the resurrection of Christ is all about security. It is about certainty. It is about something that we can anchor our faith in. It is forever. So it settles my heart. And I asked my wife as I left the bathroom, we were standing in the bathroom talking, and at the bedroom rather, as I left the bedroom, as we were watching the news, and story after story after story, I was like, is there any good news? Is there any good news? Well, yeah, there is. It's called the gospel. And the gospel is good news. So yes, there is. And the gospel is forever. It will never change. Christians way back in the first century, when that tomb was first discovered as empty, they were sitting there celebrating just like us. And they were celebrating the same message. He's risen. And do you know that was their gospel? I mean, that was literally pretty much all they were saying to people. They weren't going through a 5-point plan of how to get saved. They didn't go down the Romans road because Romans wasn't written yet. No, the gospel that they had was this. He's risen. That's it. That's it. What more you need? All it does is it proves that he was who he said he was. So Revelation 1:18, I'm the living one. I was dead. And now behold, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Jesus said, I'm alive, not just forever. He said, forever and ever. Forever isn't long enough. Forever isn't long enough to describe how long Jesus will be the living one. And if it were even possible to exhaust forever, we still have and ever to go. That's who I am. No more dying. I laid my life down once. One sacrifice for all time. And you didn't take it then. I laid it down. And I took it up again. And now I am alive forever and ever. Amen. So what does this mean for us? How does this connect with, if you're going to go for it, go for forever? How does this connect? We are living forever today. You are living forever today. So what does that mean? I want to give you four things real quickly here as we wind down. First, we have life forever, right now. What do I mean by going for forever? We have life forever right now. In John 5:24, the often quoted verse, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life, into life eternal. John 5:24. And by the way, all of these verse references will be in my notes on my website, on our church website, valleybrook.church. a little bit later on this evening. You have passed out of death into life. 1 John 5 tells us that if you have the Son, you have the life. Present tense, right here, right now. Eternal life is now and forever. Jesus said, whoever believes in me will never die. There will never be a disconnection from the one who is the source of life. There will never be a disconnection for you who have placed your faith in Jesus Christ. There will never be a disconnection. It will never happen. It's not going to happen. You have life forever, and that will never be severed. There will never be an interruption. Whoever believes in me will never die. Of course, your body is going to physically depart this earth. Unless Jesus comes back, and he might. He might. We don't know when he's going to return, as the angel said. But he may not in our lifetime, in which case these bodies will pass away. But forever is taking place right now. And there will never be a disconnection from the one who's the source of life. For forever is not just beyond this life. It's an extension of the life that is inside of us right now. The life that's going, not your physical life, but the spiritual life. That thing that you are feeling that makes you rejoice in the Lord. That thing that makes you say amen when you hear truth. That revelation of insight. All that stuff that's going on inside of you that makes you want to yell out hallelujah. Yeah. All of that stuff that opens your eyes to see, well, that's not exactly how I want this, how I want to be. Or that stuff that fills you with joy. That's the eternal life that lives inside of you. And that will never be disconnected. There will never be a severing of that. So this life is an extension of the life we've already been given in Christ. As C.S. Lewis said, we're all immortals. We're all immortals with a heartbeat that fails us physically on earth, but one that carries on in eternity. So if you're going to go for it, if you're going to go for it, why not go for forever by rejoicing that you have life forever right now? By giving thanks and meditating on the forever life that you have right now. Secondly, we have a forever relationship with the Lord right now. The resurrection of Christ and his ascension meant the coming of the Holy Spirit for the first time to indwell all of God's people. And Jesus said in John 14, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The relationship that you're building with the Lord right now, the relationship that you're building with Jesus Christ day by day, that doesn't reset when you leave this life. You take that with you. This is not wasted time spending time getting to know the Lord. It's not like the Lord just says, okay, push delete. And everything that you understood and knew about me on earth, the connection we had on earth, all of that starting over again. No, you take that with you. What happens is it gets unhusked. You know, the shell gets taken off. The thing that causes it to be a little dimmer or a little duller or that causes it to drag a little bit. It's going to just be pure octane. It's just going to be completely unfettered. But what you take is just, it just becomes more glorious when you see him. You think it's glorious now. Wait until all this stuff falls away. You see? And so you have eternal life. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And you have a forever relationship with the living one right now. That's what it means going for forever. Going for forever means you've got a forever relationship with the Lord. In Numbers chapter 11, two men, Eldad and Medad, were prophesying. The Lord had a bunch of people come to this tent because Moses was being overwhelmed, and he said, I'm going to put my spirit on some of them. And these two guys who hadn't gone out to the tent to get the spirit were over in the camp, and they started prophesying like the ones who had gone to the tent to receive the spirit. And Joshua looked over and said, they weren't invited, essentially. What are they doing over there prophesying? Tell them to stop, Moses. And Moses said, are you jealous for me? Are you jealous for me? I wish that all of God's people had his spirit. I wish that all of them had his spirit. Moses didn't know what the Lord had in store, because that's exactly what the Lord did. He put his spirit in each one of his people. And so we have this forever relationship with the Lord that is not from a distance. It's not like he's way up there and we're down here where he is. He fills heaven and earth, but he's also inside of us. Every single moment of every single day of your life. Oh, I could keep on talking about that. You've heard me talk about that, but I got to go on. So why not go for forever by being intentional in building day by day? Why not be intentional about building that relationship, that forever relationship? You're not going to lose a thing. You're investing in eternity. The prayers that you pray, the meditation, that the faith that you invest, the looking to the Savior, the tears that you shed, the joy that you express, the praises that you lift up, all of the things that cultivate your connection with him. You're never going to sever it. You don't have to earn it. It's there. But he's given us the opportunity to build upon it, to nurture it, and to experience more of him. And that's why Paul said to the Ephesians, I keep on asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, that he may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And why he said of himself, I want to know him. I want to know him. And I always look at that and I say, well, Paul, if you didn't know him, who does? You know, I didn't get caught up into the third heaven. I didn't see things that you can't even speak about. But even though he had all of that, he said, I want to know him. I want more. I'm greedy. I'm greedy. See, the Lord has this thing. You know, there's a time in our life where we feel like we're going after it. And then it catches hold and it's like, boy, we are just being pulled forward. We can't help it. First it's effort, then it's an addiction. It becomes like what Peter said to the Lord. He said, Lord, where else would we go? You want to leave too? Where else would we go? You have the words of eternal life. We've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. We've sampled who you are, and there ain't no going back now. So if you want to invest, why not go for forever by being intentional and continuing to ask the Holy Spirit who lives in you for this reason to assist you? You know, I often ask the Holy Spirit to assist me. I often ask him. I look at him as a helper, as a friend, as a parent who's helping a child put together a happy birthday card for daddy. You don't know how to draw. You draw on a stick figure. You don't know how to spell daddy or happy birthday or nothing. So, you know, she helps you a little bit. Dad, mom helps you a little bit. Or dad helps you a little bit to give the gift that is in your heart to give. Because you don't know how to do it. It's cute. And we let you put your little scribbly stick figure on there and a little smiley face and the teeth outside of the head, you know. That's me. Look, mommy. Oh, is that a giraffe? No, that's me. Oh, now I see. Oh, yeah. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness because we don't know how to pray as we ought. But he intercedes for us with groanings too deep for it. You can be specific with him about helping you and intentional. When you sit down, some of us break bread more than once a month. We do it in our homes. When you sit down to just thank the Lord for the bread and the cup and your personal time with him, you can ask, and I do all the time, Lord, assist me at this time at honoring you for what you have done for me. Why not go for forever by being intentional in building your relationship with Christ? That's what I talk about here every Sunday in one form or another. Next month is May, it's the world of work. And in June, we talk about the family. And in July, we talk about spiritual warfare. And all of those themes are very important. But at the heart of every one of them is your personal connection and relationship with Jesus Christ. That is going to be the common denominator in all of them, even as we talk about some of the specifics. Number three, we already have a forever home. We already have a forever home. For we know, 2 Corinthians 5:1 says, for we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Thank you, Jesus. It's already there. Your house is already there. The housing market here is going crazy. Watching it on the news. Robert, would you mind coming up and doing something with thank you? The housing market here is going crazy. But you've got a place in a place where there's no shortage of homes, no crazy mortgage rates. In fact, no mortgages at all. It's paid in full. It's yours free and clear. In my Father's house, the Lord says, are many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you may be there also. Why not go for forever by regularly thanking the Lord for your forever home? Just thanking him, focusing in on that. And finally, our forever family is already waiting for us. It's a wonderful thing on Easter, on Resurrection Sunday, when we have the names of our loved ones read and memorialized. I was thinking about Jeannie's mom, thinking about all of them, really, because I knew many of the people whose names were read. I remember many of them, or several of them at least, sitting in this very room. I see their faces. I see their smiles. I think of Jeannie's mom, Pat. And it's hard to believe she's not here. It's just hard to believe. I told my wife the other day, it's hard for me to believe I can't call my brother. I mean, he was like my best friend. And I mean, the first year he was gone, I didn't miss him that much. I mean, it was okay, but it seems like the longer the time goes, the more I miss him, because there's more that I'd like to talk to him about. There's more that I would like, that I know that he would be able to relate to in a way that nobody else on this earth can relate to it. So when I think about our forever family waiting for us, it gives me joy. See, the moment that this body shuts down, brothers and sisters, here's our hope. The moment this body shuts down, heaven's gates appear to a believer. See, there's no darkness. There's no cessation of existence. There's no dormancy for your spirit. Your body sleeps. Your body rests. Your body will be resurrected to a new body. Thank God. It won't be that same old one. It'll be a new one, the scripture says. And those of us who remain will be changed in an instant. But Paul writes, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so there is no place where you go besides to the Lord when you're absent from this body. And Jesus, the last words that he spoke as he hung his head on the cross and died, the last words, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Here I come, Father. Into your hands I commit my spirit. My brother and I used to talk about tail lights. We're either the ones watching them or we're the ones displaying them. It's like when we would go down to Louisiana to visit our family, it's a long distance, so we only got down there once a year. And all of our cousins and friends and my little 16-year-old girlfriend down there that I met and fell in love with in one day, you know, she's down there and we're having a good time. And then the time came to leave. And my brother and I would say, it's tail light time, meaning that they're going to watch our tail lights go off into the distance. They're going to wave, say goodbye, but eventually we got to get in the car and eventually it's tail lights. You're either the one creating them and displaying them by leaving, or you're the one watching them leave. When our family came up to visit us, we had to watch the taillights. They had to watch them before. In this life, it's taillights for all of us. But a day is coming when that will not be so. The scripture indicates that there are some verses that seem to suggest that when you die, there will be a welcoming committee. I believe it. I believe that when your eyes open and when you see eternity, that you will not be there all by yourself. I personally believe that the Lord will be hand selecting the people who will be in our welcoming committee. And I am absolutely certain, I've told my wife this all the time, because she has a problem with Mary and Martha and has a problem with Mary, you know, thinking that Mary wasn't doing what she should have been doing and Jesus shouldn't have come down on Martha so hard. And Mary, she's got this whole profile of Mary. And I say, you know what? Mary knows that she should have been in there peeling those potatoes. She knew what she was doing, just sitting there. I laugh because she goes on and on. I say, you know what? I know. I just know that Mary's going to be in your welcoming committee. And she's going to say, hi, Laverne. And Laverne says, she's going to say, I ain't scared. But whenever that happens, however it happens, and whomever are part of that welcoming committee, what a day it's going to be. What a reunion that's going to be. The resurrection of the living one instructs us to keep our focus on forever, even as we take care of business today. So why not go for forever by praying for those in our relationship circle to become part of our eternal family, to be praying, to continue to pray for those in our circle who don't know the Lord and whom we would really like to see come to know the Lord. Invest in forever by praying for those who do not know Jesus. See, God is at work in their lives. And oftentimes, before I just keep praying that God would save them, sometimes I just pray, thank you, Lord, for all the work you're doing. Because I know you're on it. You're on it. Sometimes it's good to just say, thank you, Lord, for being on it. So I'm done. Someone runs wrote, if you don't get what you want, you suffer. If you get what you don't want, you suffer. Even when you get exactly what you want, you still suffer because you can't hold on to it forever. And it's true, we can't hold on to the things of this world forever, but we can hold on to forever itself. So if you're going to go for it, brothers and sisters, why not go for forever? May God bless you as you pursue forever this week. I'm done.